the guys from Ping, they've kind of shown me how much the equipment matters.
I just love that I can hit any shot I kind of want.
We're going to be able to tell some fun stories about what goes on here to help golfers play better golf.
Welcome back to the Ping Proving Grounds podcast. I'm Shane Bacon. No Marty today, but I'll say we have a couple of high-level people stepping in. Allison Corpuz and Leona McGuire joining. Can I ask you guys a question off the top that has nothing to do with Solheim Cup? Because it's something I've been battling with. Allison, I'll tee you up on this. And Leona, you can jump on the back end. What is y'all's caffeine intake tournament days? Because I'm having a hard time tournament days understanding, do I go like a regular day amount of coffee or do I kind of scale it back? Because I'm starting to get the kind of caffeine jitters on the golf course. So Allison, where do you go caffeine-wise, you know, on big days of tournaments?
Yeah, so I am actually pretty no caffeine in my entire life. Okay. I'm really sensitive to caffeine and yeah, I used it a bit in college, like if I needed to pull an all-nighter or something, but I play my best golf pretty low energy, so I don't need the bump.
Leona, do you go coffee in the morning or tea or anything like that? Or do you follow Allison's footsteps there?
No, I'm pretty similar. I don't drink coffee. I'll only drink tea if it's like a cold day and I need to warm up or something. So when I'm home in Ireland, kind of for the winter a little bit, but tournament wise, not really, no.
So what you're saying is stop drinking caffeine, stop drinking coffee in the morning. I will take you guys' advice for that. Obviously, Solheim Cup is upon us, one of the great events in all of golf, one of my favorite events in all of golf. Leona, you had an unbelievable Solheim Cup at Inverness. I wanted to start with that. If we can go back to that. When you were thinking about the Solheim Cup in your brain, as you were a young player into you know, competitive amateur golf and then into professional golf, what you thought of the Solheim Cup versus what it was it close? Was it not even close? How was that experience in your first one versus maybe what you thought the experience would be like?
Yeah, I mean, you grow up watching the Solheim Cup on TV. I suppose I was fortunate enough to play two junior Solheims, so kind of got the experience on a little bit of smaller scale. Obviously got to play and then we got to watch the big teams compete and watch them inside the ropes, and it just seemed like the coolest thing ever. And then you obviously it's one of these things you build up in your head, right? You build it up and build it up, and sometimes it can't possibly live up to what you've built it up. But I mean, for us in Inverness, it went pretty much as well as it possibly could have. A little bit surreal, I guess, with the no fans, but that's my first one, and it set a pretty high bar for all of my Solheims to come.
Well, and I know you're going to compete against Allison, but what are one or two things that you would tell anybody playing in their first Solheim Cup about just the preparation for the week?
I'm not going to give her too many secrets, but it's just a long week. I think everybody says that there's a lot of demands on your time, a lot of media stuff to do, a lot of extra dinners and things like that, and it's a weird week in that you actually spend more time preparing than you do competing. There's such a long build up, and by Tuesday you're ready to go. You want to just play. So it's kind of pacing yourself, I think, as the week goes, so that you're not completely shattered by the time Sunday comes. And then one mistake I made last time was not going to the merchandise tent early enough. And then by the time I didn't figure out that we needed to get flags early in the week to get everybody to sign them. By the time I sent my sister Lise to get some, they were like nearly all gone. So I would definitely recommend going to the tent as early in the week as possible.
Allison, shopping early is good advice, I think, for kind of anybody at any golf tournament. Allison, when did the Solheim Cup become a reality in your brain? Because, I mean, you've had an unbelievable season, obviously with the win at the U.S. Open, but I mean, the major season has been incredible for you, and we'll get into that in a bit. But when did that start to set in that this was actually going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, behind the scenes, Stacey's put in so much work as our captain, and she actually started having, you know, bigger dinners with like all of the potential team members probably last year in preparation for this Solheim Cup. So it was kind of on my radar, but I was more on the bubble leading into this year. So it was definitely a huge goal of mine. And then, I mean, yeah, I got off to a pretty good start to the year and just kind of kept on my name climbing up in the rankings. So yeah, I'm super excited for my first one.
Well, it's so interesting in golf with these cups. I mean, obviously Solheim Cup, I mean, Walker Cup, Curtis Cup, you know, obviously, you know, into the President's Cup, everything like that. They all are typically at the end of seasons, right? And in golf, a lot of the bigger events are earlier in the season. I mean, you think about Chevron, or summer is obviously extremely impactful, both on the men's and women's side. What's cool about the Cups is it gives you something to quote unquote play for towards the end of the season. So as you're seeing your name, Allison, kind of pop up in text and obviously going to these dinners, and then your name's moving up those rankings, as you're playing this season and the game is as dialed as it is that motivation to kind of push through the end of the summer, even though you've had already a great season, one you're going to remember for a long time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I like to look at it not so much as pressure, but more just an added bonus if I do make it. And I mean, I think it's always such an honor to be able to represent your country. I mean, I played in one Curtis Cup and two Palmer Cups, and it's just always fun just to switch from the individual sport to a team sport as well.
Leona, what's a mistake that people make, not necessarily in a Solheim Cup, but in a team format? I mean, this could be amateur golfers that are playing in a best ball tournament at their club. You know, you're playing foursomes, that's obviously alternate shot, but if you're playing four ball, it's best ball, but you are in fact playing your own ball. What do you feel like is a mistake that players tend to make when a team event pops up versus when you're playing individual play?
Yeah, I mean, I think foursomes and four balls are really different. Foursomes is a little bit more about the combination and the personalities, and I guess you have to get along pretty well to sort of gel well together. I think four balls, anybody can play together, and it really is about just playing your own ball, focusing on your own thing. Sometimes in four ball matches, it turns into you have two players, two caddies, and everybody reading every putt and all of that, and it takes 6 hours to play. And I think that's, by the end, everybody's just so tired, they've completely lost track and focus of everything. So definitely sticking to your own game, regardless of whether you're playing with a big hitter or a short hitter, whatever it is. I think especially in the four ball matches, you're still just trying to get the ball in the hole the quickest. And hopefully your partner sort of backs you up on the holes that you can't come in on.
Leona, something I've always noticed that I feel like is like a super nerdy golf thing, but I pay a little bit of attention to this, is you mentioned it. I mean, there's two players, there's two caddies. Is it hard to remember to high five everybody when something good happens? Because, you know, you're typically high fiving one person if you make a long putt or you hole out a bunker shot, but you know, you got to go, you go your caddy, and then you go your teammate, and then you go the air caddy. Like, it's a lot of high five and fist pumping.
Yeah. I remember last time, Emily was playing with Charlie in one of the games, and she held a big putt, I think, for a win on one hole. And she said she looked around to give Charlie a fist bump or high five, and Charlie was just gone. She was on the next tee already. She had definitely forgotten about that. But yeah, there's definitely a lot more going on. There's a lot more energy, I feel like, in Solheim Cup, but it's a good energy. It's pure adrenaline, I think, that week. So you kind of just, it's all kind of a blur, and you just sort of go with the flow.
Allison, have you been to Spain before?
No, it'll be my first time.
Nice. What are you looking forward to outside of the golf? Anything?
I mean, I heard that the area is just beautiful. I heard like the hotel that we're at is really nice. The course is going to be great. And I mean, I'll have some family there as well. So just looking forward to having them out for the week.
When you travel somewhere cool, you know, I mean, you go to France for a major championship, or you go to Scotland for the Open, do you ever set aside time to do stuff? Because I think when, you know, people that travel a lot get in this rotation of travel, a lot of the time you get where you go, you unpack your bag, you go to the golf course, you do your thing, and you go back to the hotel. Do you ever put aside a little bit of time to go see kind of the culture or the city or places around it?
Yeah, it really depends on the week and like how the schedule looks, and also the area. But I'm a big like food person, so okay. I do generally try to go into the city and get some food or something. And then if there's some like historical site that I know is there that I've been interested in going to, I'll try to put some time in to go there.
Well, let's talk about the year. Obviously, there is Allison Corpus pre-Pebble Beach, and then there's Allison post-Pebble Beach. What has been the biggest change? What's been the thing that has maybe shocked you or been, you know, eye-opening for kind of your life post what you did at Pebble?
Yeah, I think I have a much better appreciation just for all the other ladies who have won, just been way busier since the win. But no, I mean, not much has changed in my life as far as like, you know, my friends, family, like everything has been kept pretty much the same, but really just excited for all the opportunities that I've had since then. And yeah, I mean, I think there's been maybe a few rounds that I have a little more confidence in, you know, like, why can't I make this putt? Like, I won the US Open, you know? But yeah, I mean, not much has changed, just kind of trying to keep things the same.
Yeah, it's a great point you said about why can't I make this putt, right? I mean, I had this unbelievable week, one of the biggest major championships really in the history of the LPGA Tour, just in terms of anticipation and excitement, and you play so well. When you have a down week, you don't play great in the first round, things like that. Do you feel more pressure considering you're now the U.S. Open champion, or in a way, do you feel less pressure because, hey, I already checked off my big moment of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always played better kind of feeling like the underdog. So for me, there has been maybe trying to reset my expectation levels, but at the same time, like I'm really happy with how the year has gone. And yeah, just really trying to stay grateful for everything that's come my way.
The major season has been incredible. I mean, I was looking through your results, obviously win at the U.S. Open, T4 at the Chevron, T6 at the British, T15th at the PGA. I mean, you made all five cuts. That's tough golf. Major championships are supposed to test everybody's game, complete game. Why do you feel like you thrive in that environment?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do just with like the goals that I set at the beginning of the year. I mean, my swing coach kind of had said like, hey, you're a great ball striker. There's no reason why these courses don't suit your game well. Just, you know, make sure you're putting in the right prep for those weeks and make sure, you know, you're doing the right things, nutrition, exercise, rest. So really just focus. Not that I didn't focus on my other tournaments, but definitely went into those weeks knowing like, hey, like these weeks are big, and just really trying to prepare my best for those.
Speaking of solid seasons, Leona, I was diving into your results. We love talking about winning in golf. I like to talk about consistency. It's something I've always kind of pushed in this sport because only one person wins a week. You've missed one cut this season. You've been incredibly consistent on the golf course. What do you look at in terms of your year? Where do you rank it in terms of your professional seasons? And what's kind of been the good and the bad from 2023 with you?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's been pretty consistent. I think I got off to a nice start this year, got a few sort of top tens under my belt early. And then I suppose the highlight of the year was the win at Meyer. After finishing second 2 years in a row, it was nice to finally get over the line and get that win. So that was definitely the highlight. Obviously, took that into the week at Ballstraw after leading through three rounds. Would have been nice to get the win there, but felt like I played some really good golf and it was a huge learning sort of experience for me. So yeah, I feel like my game's been really close all year. Like every piece is there, just not quite there every week. So on those weeks like Meyer, when it all clicks together, it's great. And then the other weeks, it's still a really consistent performance. And I feel like the standard of the LPGA is just getting better and better every year. You have to do so many things right every week to finish in the top 10, let alone win. And you also need a few people around you to help you out as well. You can still play unbelievable golf and still not win. So ultimately, I'm just trying to improve every year, get a bit more comfortable, figure out which venues suit me best. And it's been a solid year, and hopefully we can finish off as strong as possible.
When you guys, I want to ask both you guys this question because I'm interested in the way you go about your business on a Sunday when you're not in contention. So let's say you guys both make the cut. You don't play great on Saturday. You're in 50th place. What is the motivation and what is the conversation with yourself and with your caddy about that final round? When you're not going to win, you're probably not going to finish in the top 20, but you still got to go out there and go about your business. Leona, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just trying to move up any spots I can. I think there's always still something to be played for. I think even if it's not that tournament, it could help you in the next tournament or five tournaments after that. So it's more a mentality thing, I think, about never giving up and just always trying to squeeze every last drop out of every event. And for me, like at Chevron this year, I was, I think, four outside the cut when I made the turn on Friday and ended up making the cut. And it wasn't so much important, I think, for that event as it was for events down the line in the season. It's when you have to play golf and sort of make a cut or birdie a hole when you need to, it doesn't really matter what the situation is. I think that stands to you, whether it's in a major, whether it's on a Friday, whether it's on a Thursday morning, whether it's on a Sunday, it's still the same skills and mentality that you need.
Allison, what is your thought process or going through your brain and the conversation with your caddy when you just don't quite have it on the weekend, but obviously you made it to the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, definitely really similar to Leona, just trying to get as many birdies as you can on the board. It's always nice to just, you know, finish with a nice final round. And like she said, I mean, it's all about showing up when it matters. So if you can figure out how to show up you know, when you don't quite have everything together, then someday in the future, there's going to be a day where everything's clicking and, you know, the nerves are starting to get to you or something. And it's like, hey, like I've been in this position before. Like I made a few birdies coming in at this event or whatever, like made the clutch putt there. And it's really just kind of carrying that forward into the future.
Leona, you mentioned no fans at the last Solheim Cup. Do you feel like this is going to almost feel like a completely different event, considering not only are there going to be fans, but European fans at that?
Yeah, I don't really know what to expect. I think I've talked to a lot of people that are going over from Ireland. A lot of people from Ireland have like winter homes down in that part of Spain, and I have friends and family going. And I feel like the really cool thing about the Solheim Cup is a lot of people tune in that don't normally watch women's golf, don't normally watch golf in general. Some people it's a 2-year trip that they plan around it every single time. And I can just draw on from the times that I was there as a junior, both in Rich Harris Farms and in Ireland when it was in Killeen Castle, and you know, the singing on the first tee and how loud it is. And it'll be nice, I suppose, this time around to have cheers when you do something right rather than do something wrong, I suppose.
When the fans actually lift you up. What is practice like in the winter in Ireland? Is it pretty brutal? Like when you were growing up, was there a lot of practice days like January 15th, or do you kind of put the clubs away?
No, I mean, it's one of those things when you grow up in Ireland, you can't wait for a nice day or you won't practice very often. So
what's a nice day in the winter?
I mean, I compare it a lot to Seattle. Kind of once it's dry, I mean, it's a little bit frosty sometimes in the winter. We very rarely get snow. We get snow every few years. Everybody panics at a couple of inches and then it goes away and we go back to normal. But I mean, we have indoor facilities as well. So work on the track, man, work on putting inside as well. But you kind of get out there, you put 4 or 5 layers on and you put your beanie on and you just get on with it and don't really complain.
I moved to the Northeast a couple of years ago from Arizona, which obviously, you know, you're not really thinking about winter in Arizona at any point. And I did the double layer pants, which was huge. And I got one of those, like the quarterback pouches that heats up. Oh, what a game changer that thing is. I mean, you have to carry multiple batteries for a full round, but I'm all in on that. Keeping the hands warm, very important when it's cold outside, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Keeping your head and your hands warm. I think your head as well. The beanie is definitely a big one for me as well.
Leona, you know, for Allison, you play in the Solheim Cup and you're wearing your country's flag. You have, you know, USA, you've got, I mean, you could have stickers on your face. Your head covers have the American flag. It's a little different on the European side. What do you do to give kind of a slight nod to Ireland when you're playing under the quote unquote European flag for the Solheim Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I think Puma have made me shoes that have like an Irish flag on one shoe and a European flag on the other. So we'll have that. And I'm pretty sure there was an Irish flag and our golf flag the last time, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of Irish people there with tricolors and flags and all that. But that's the special thing about the Solheim Cup. You're not just playing for yourself, your team, your country. You're playing for your continent, and you're part of something so much bigger than yourself. And it's just a really special thing to be a part of.
Leona, how much swag do you get to take away? Obviously, I mean, the flags, you got to go shopping early. But I mean, how much Solheim Cup stuff are you getting? Because obviously you have the outfits and the golf bags and the head covers and, I mean, on and on and on. But like, was this like a ship at home type of situation for you from Inverness?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's still maybe potentially boxes and bags that I haven't opened since Inverness. But then again, there was a lot of people after the fact looking for gifts and things like that. So it was quite handy to have to sort of divvy up. But yeah, there's a lot of extra gifts. I think every night we used to go back to the room, there would be something new waiting on the bed for us. So it's a really cool week, and it's one of those things you walk into. I don't know how the US team does it, but when we walked into our room last time, it was like Christmas morning, sort of all the outfits were on, sort of hung up, and everything was laid out on the bed. And it's just a really cool moment. And yeah, if like 12-year-old Leona could see it, it's pretty special.
This is yours. You don't even have to pay for it. They just give you this. This is amazing. Allison, what's the conversation like as you get closer to the Solheim Cup and you're starting to think about who you're going to play with, what format you're going to play in? Is that a conversation with the captain? Like, I feel more comfortable with this person. I feel more comfortable with this format. Or do you kind of leave that up to the captain?
We have discussed potential pairings, and I think it'll just kind of be like, hey, like, we'll maybe send you out with this person. And if it works, great, we'll keep it. If not, this is maybe another person that you'd pair well with. And yeah, just leading up to it, trying to play a few practice rounds with potential teammates and yeah, really just trying to get the team chemistry going. And I mean, I grew up playing junior golf with most of the girls on the team, which is really nice. And yeah, just having all the team dinners that we've had has helped a lot, I think, in getting to know each other.
Allison, us in the media, do we overrate this person needs to play with a great putter or this person needs to play with somebody that hits fairways? I mean, you, like you said, you've played golf with these people most of your life. You've played team events with a lot of the people that are on this team. You understand what works and what doesn't, but this is what we talk about. I mean, we do it for the Ryder Cup. We do it for the Solheim Cup. Do we overthink that in terms of how the business goes about itself, or is that stuff massively important?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some value to it. I mean, you don't want to be playing with someone, especially in foursomes, like Leona said, with a completely different game from what you have. But I think it's also just really important to have the team chemistry and, yeah, just know that you're out there with someone that you really like.
Leona, do you get to tell the captain who you play with since when you go 4-0-1 as a rookie? Is that like part of the deal? You're like, hey, listen, I know how to do this. This is going to be my call.
No, I mean, I think our team is quite different this time. I think obviously last time that me and Mel, that pairing, I don't think either of us saw coming. That was one that Beanie sort of had up her sleeve and ended up working out really well. And like Allison said, it was never the plan to play us as many times as we did, but it was working. So it was like, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And if that's five matches, that's five matches. If it's two matches, it's two matches.
Do either of you guys know much about the golf course? What is it? Is it Finca Cortesine? I feel like I looked that up a couple times today on YouTube to try to say it correctly. Have you guys seen flyovers? Have you guys seen much of the golf course? Leona, I'll start with you. Do you know much about the place?
We were there last November at the end of the year. So it's a great golf course. It's I think it'll be a really fun match play event. Plenty options with tees and in terms of setup and things like that. I think you'll see quite a different golf course. Four balls, foursomes, singles. So it'll be a nice variety to it. And a little tricky for fans just to get down some of those. So I think there's going to be a lot of grandstands parked in certain areas. But overall, I think it's going to be a really exciting match play golf course.
Allison, what kind of information do you get sent or, you know, you can dive into it? By the way, this is a whole new world for me, playing in the U.S. Amateur and seeing the breakdowns of the golf courses that you guys get week to week and like strategy. And I mean, it's unbelievable. I didn't even know this existed in the space. I'm assuming you get those types of things. What do you feel like this golf course will play to in terms of, you know, skill set and what is maybe something to avoid?
Yeah, I mean, I've just seen a lot of the breakdowns that the Solheim Cup has kind of posted as teasers leading into the event. Like Leona said, I heard it's going to be a pretty hilly course. And I mean, there's always going to be a premium on good ball striking. I heard it can get a little windy and never hurts to have a hot putter as well.
I think that helps in almost every golf course, no matter what. Obviously, the name Solheim, you know, carries a lot of weight, especially in the Ping family. How cool is it to be a part of kind of both, Allison? I mean, you obviously have, you know, the Ping affiliation, and then now you're going to be representing the USA in the Solheim Cup. What does that mean in terms of both you professionally and you personally?
Yeah, it's really special. I mean, Ping has been just a great supporter of mine. I mean, even before I turned pro, used Ping clubs through high school, through college. So it's just really special to kind of have both of those worlds meet.
Leona, I mean, same for you, I'm assuming. Like, I mean, a brand that obviously does an amazing job of supporting professional golfers, but it's done a really good job of supporting women's golf, you know, for decades and decades.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Solheim family has done so much for women's golf. And I mean, I remember back to 2009 when I got to play in the Junior Solheim Cup. And one of the big things with that was that you got an entire Ping fitting right through the bag, and they like lasered our names onto the clubs, which at the time was, I'd never seen that before. So that was really cool. And I still have a putter from the one at Killeen Castle that they did like a custom one and put your name on it and everything. So it's those extras, but it's also the visibility that the Solheim Cup and the Ping family have given to women's golf as well. There's, like I said before, there's a lot of people that tune in every 2 years for the Solheim Cup that would never normally watch women's golf. And it gives sort of an extra platform and extra visibility to the women's game. And people sort of realize and appreciate the skill that's on show on a week like that.
All right, Allison, we're going to fast forward to Sunday of the Solheim Cup. Singles Sunday. You get paired up, matched up with Leona. The first tee, you shake hands. Obviously, it's cordial. How much conversation's happening after that? in this match? Like, how much are you guys saying to each other throughout a match with this much on the line and this much pressure and all of those types of things? Is there much at all? Or, I mean, are you guys talky golfers?
I mean, I'm generally pretty quiet on the course in general. And I think match play, it's maybe even more difficult to be talking with your competitor. But no, I mean, I enjoy watching good golf. I enjoy playing good golf. Like, I'm definitely, you know, a big, like, nice shot person, but maybe not too much side conversation going on.
Leono, have you guys played a decent amount of golf together over the years?
Yeah, so we've actually played quite a few practice rounds together this year, it seems like, and we've been paired together a few times. But I think, like Allison said, I think in when it comes to singles and match play, I think you're very much sort of you go from, that was the thing I noticed, was you went from having a partner every day before that to all of a sudden it's you by yourself. So I think you and your caddy almost become a little mini team in the single session. And I mean, just going off my experience, I don't think me and Jen talked all that much on Sunday last time. But
hey, how you doing? All right, see you on 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those days. I think you're good friends off the course, but then when it, just for those 4 hours, it's kind of all business.
Okay, again, not trying to get too much into y'all strategy. I get that it's kind of a personal thing, but I want to ask both of you guys, because it's something I'm always interested in match play. Leona, what is your philosophy with giving putts? What do you think about when you're considering giving a person a putt versus not giving them a putt?
Oof. I mean, I think first off, how good of a putter they are.
Okay.
There's some people, I mean, like, I don't know, if you're playing Invy Park, you're not going to be making Invy Park put a two footer. You know what's going in. So I think it depends on the person. It depends on the situation, what time it is in the match. Probably early on, you probably give a few more. As it starts to get a little bit more important, maybe make them putt a few more. It really depends on the flow of the match and also what they're giving you. I think it becomes a reciprocal thing. If you're giving, they're giving, everything flows a little bit better. I think it's not really any fun for the fans or for anybody when everybody's holing out from a foot and a half just for the sake of it. So I think you just have to take it as it comes.
Allison, who typically, like, who brings up good? Like, is it like, are you looking at each other on a good situation? Is it like, if you have a little bit of a longer putt, are you the person that brings it up versus them? Like, how does that conversation work? Because I know you've played, you know, a lot of team competitive golf throughout your life. What is the, who kind of, I guess, starts the conversation of good?
So I'll preface this by saying I'm generally pretty generous about what I give, but I never initiate good because I only think it ever makes sense if they're closer, though, if it is that situation. And at that point, I'm just like, you know, I'm going to make my putt.
Well, it feels very like when you watch the highlights of team events, it feels very like a very alpha move to initiate good. You know, like I remember watching a Tiger match a few years ago. He was playing, I think it was somebody who was his first Ryder Cup. And you saw like Tiger walk in, you're like, well, of course the guy's going to say yes to Tiger, right? It's Tiger Woods. Like, what's he going to say? No, putt it. I mean, it almost feels like there's a little bit of seniority that's involved with good. But yeah, I'm always interested in that because you always see kind of the players side eye each other and it's, we're both 2 feet, you know, they're kind of straight. Should we just pick them up? And yeah, I guess it's up to whoever feels like that maybe the friskiest on throwing that their way.
Yeah. I mean, I normally like give the putt like pretty much directly after they putt it, if I'm going to give the putt. So I'm not in too many situations where that comes up, but I've never offered it.
Never offered it. See, Leona, no. Got to think about this. you got to be like, well, she's not going to give me this. Obviously, she hasn't brought it up yet. It's just so, I mean, there's not enough match play in golf. It is such a beautiful part of the game to watch because I feel like with match play, let's say you have an hour at home, right? And obviously this is going to be in Europe. So if you're stateside, you got an hour in the morning, you can dive into match play and get really, really invested in a match. And when you're watching stroke play golf, a lot of the time, if you're not watching the whole thing, you almost sometimes feel like, you know, maybe I don't need to pay attention to this. And I just feel like the flow and the song and dance of match play just makes it so much interesting because Leona, you said it. I mean, you don't get a putt given to you on three. And then all of a sudden you're going, I'm not going to give this putt on six. Like that doesn't come up in stroke play. You know, like those little idiosyncrasies aren't a part of stroke play. And it's such a fun part of match play. It just, to me, I don't know. It just makes it so much more fun to watch.
I think match play is dynamic. It's it moves quicker. It's more exciting for the fans. I think it's more exciting to play. And yeah, it's just a very different, and momentum, I think, is everything in match play. I think you see someone go three up early and then someone makes a charge down the back nine. There's always something to play for, and all it takes is one pod here or there or something to change the momentum of a match. And it's just more exciting, and it's fascinating to see on weeks like the Ryder Cup or Solheim Cup, where all of a sudden everybody becomes an expert, even more so than normal. Everybody, this guy should have played with them. And it'll be the same at Solheim Cup. But I don't envy the captains in that regard, because everybody will have an opinion on who should have gone out first and who should have played with who and who should have held that pod and whatever. But that's sort of what makes it so fun.
Yeah, the captain position on these team events is so interesting, because if you win, you're a genius, and if you lose, you're an idiot, and there's really no middle ground. You know, it's like, it's just such a, again, if you're, I mean, you think about Paul Azinger from whatever that was, 08. I mean, he is heralded as this genius, right? Because of the process he went about, but the players still got to go out there and make putts and play. And if they hadn't done that week, and then Al Sutton on the other end puts Tiger and Phil together, they go 0-2, and Hal's forever known as kind of a not so great captain. It's just, it's a very, very interesting position. Leona, you mentioned the Ryder Cup. Is there crossover conversation from Ryder Cup players to Solheim Cup players about what works, what doesn't? Like, is that, do those teams come together at all, even if it's a text or something like that?
Yeah, I'm sure Suzanne has spoken with some of the Ryder Cup guys, but me personally, I've spoken to the Irish guys. Patrick Harrington, Paul McGinley's been a big help to me. I had a really good conversation with him last time before I went, of just things to expect. And there's some things are different, but there is a lot of crossover in terms of sort of the environment and what to expect and how you approach certain things in terms of mentality and that. So, I'm a big believer of you can pick up anything from anybody, and it's all about gathering that information, and then you can decide for yourself what works and what doesn't. But the guys have been sort of very forthcoming with their experiences and stuff. And I feel like you sort of take it all in and sort of pick and choose what you use.
Allison, have you had any conversations or bounced any questions off anybody that, you know, plays on the PGA Tour, plays on Ryder Cups, about what to expect? Because, I mean, obviously, I know you've had, you know, plenty of conversations with players that have gone through the Solheim Cup experience, but just interested, is that crossover conversation happened on the American side as well?
Honestly, I'm sure it has. I just don't know too many of the men too well. Mostly just been getting experiences from my other teammates.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, I can only imagine what the environment must be like on the first tee. Come Friday, it's going to be pretty exciting. Well, good luck to the both of you. I know you both can't win, but I'll be rooting for the both of you guys. Thank you guys for the time. Thanks for the insight. Very, very excited to watch one of my favorite events in all of golf, and I'll be pulling for you both.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks so much, Shane.
This is the Ping Proving Grounds podcast.